I'm Brian Goldfinger of Goldfinger Injury Lawyers. Accidents happen, and when they do, you'll want a lawyer who will stand up to the insurance company and fight for your rights. In case of emergency, have this name in your back pocket, Goldfinger, Brian Goldfinger. Visit goldfingerlaw.com and get us working for you.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast. I'm your host, William Liu. What a game. What a game against the Wizards. I would say it was exciting if it wasn't so excruciating, because the Raptors needed double overtime to put away the Washington Wizards. It was a 140 to 138 game. Jesus. I'm struggling to find the words to describe this one, just because the Raptors were cruising this entire time. I mean, the Raptors got out to a 27-10 lead and then proceeded to lead by double digits, as high as 23, but by double digits throughout the entirety of the second quarter, the third quarter, and with 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter, they still had a double-digit lead, and you thought the Raptors would come in and they would take care of business and everyone would go home. There will be a quick trip to DC and, we'll get away with the win. But the Raptors basically just couldn't lock down defensively. I mean, they conceded 74 points in the second half. They did not come out to play defensively. And you got to credit the Wizards. Bradley Beal was phenomenal. I mean, I can't believe there were people telling me that the Raptors can't give up JV for Bradley Beal. Are you kidding? Have you seen Bradley Beal? Bradley Beal, for the record today, 43 points, 10 rebounds, 15 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks, 55 minutes played. He sent the game to overtime with a double overtime with a ridiculous 3. I don't know what else to say about this guy, but he was incredible. He was just relentless. I mean, he kept attacking the basket. And we've seen this with Bradley, right? He has this mode that he hits when John Wall isn't in the game and when he takes over. And it's honestly terrifying, because it's so hard to guard this guy, because he can play on and off the ball. He's so aggressive in both those scenarios. And, it really requires you to really communicate. You can't really switch against him, because he was doing such a good job of breaking down the big man and then dumping it off to guys like Thomas Bryant, or kicking it out to Ariza or Otto Porter. Like, the Wizards were basically Bradley Beal saying, we're not losing this game. And they still lost the game, and he looked despondent afterwards. But, my God, he came very close to swinging this result. And the Raptors just couldn't play defense, man. The Wizards hit a franchise record 19 threes on 44 attempts, all right? So, Beal hit 6 of those, Ariza hit 4 of them, and then you got Otto Porter off the bench for 5. So that's a big chunk right there. But, again, somehow the Raptors pull it out. It's hard to even recap this game, because there was so much that happened that I completely forgot. I have a lot of extra notes about sort of just what happened in regulation, so I guess I'll put that towards the end, because really it was the fourth quarter and overtime that people want to hear about. Defensively, the Raptors just didn't have it together in the fourth quarter. Like, they just didn't. They couldn't do anything against Bradley Beal. I thought Danny Green, like, in terms of as defensively, this is one of his worst performances. It's unfortunate, because he still did come up with some big performances, and I think he did come up with some big plays. He does have 2 steals, 2 blocks. He just could not contain Beal. The Wizards basically, they took Jeff Green on the starting lineup and they put Otto Porter in, and that's it. They rode that lineup for the whole game, basically, until Ariza fouled out in overtime or double overtime. They were just, consistently getting threes. And meanwhile, the Raptors kind of, like, consistently slowed down their offense, which was kind of annoying to watch. Because early on, the Raptors defensively were so solid. They were flying around so many transition buckets, forcing turnovers and going the other way. And it was all great. But in, the fourth quarter and obviously in overtime, none of those transition baskets existed. I thought Pascal Siakam kind of faded. He still was a monster on the boards, and he had a great game overall, right? I don't want to criticize him whatsoever. 24 points, 19 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks, 5 turnovers, and 6 fouls, whatever, he fouled out. But, like, he just wasn't a factor in overtime and in the fourth quarter. And, he fouled out on a pretty light whistle, I thought. I mean, it was completely inadvertent. He ends up clipping, Bradley Beal on a drive, but Brad was kind of slipping and sort of was falling over already. So it looked like Siakam had hit him and he had fallen over, but he was already falling over. Whatever. It's a bad call, but, you know, I think there were some calls either way. But, yeah, I mean, just in terms of forcing turnovers and sort of that open court play, that's where Pascal thrives. And it was kind of disappointing to see that, you know, he was passing up opportunities, a little bit wild, taking a charge, you know, things like that. Like, he just wasn't as much of a factor. But he did go on the offensive glass, and he got five of them, and it was great. And even the defensive rebounds were very important for the Raptors. But, yeah, in terms of just effectiveness, he wasn't quite there in the clutch. Serge was there in terms of he hit the game-winning shot, but, I mean, he was 2 of 8. Before that, and he wasn't really doing much really on either end. I mean, he was playing decent defense, but, I mean, still, Beal was just beating him consistently. And if it wasn't Beal, Beal would dump it off to Thomas Bryant, who would dunk the ball and stuff like that. So Ibaka wasn't quite there, and then Kyle Lowry wasn't quite there. That's the concern, really. It really comes down to Kyle, right? And in a game like this, you need a second guy. And that second guy today played 50 minutes, got 12 points, and shot 4 of 15 from the field. 2 of 10 from 3, including... at the end of the first overtime, the Raptors had like 6.8 seconds. It was tied. And the play that Nick Nurse drew up was basically to inbound to Kyle Lowry at the backcourt and then a screen halfway by Serge Ibaka and then have basically Kyle toss up a shot. This is a play the Raptors have run consistently over the years, and I'm not surprised that Nick Nurse continues to run it because it used to be very effective back when Kyle was really good, really effective, blowing by people and stuff. Today, and especially recently since he's come back from the back injury, he's moved around gingerly. It's hard for him to get separation. And, you know, that it just ended up in a terrible shot for Kyle. I thought pretty much all the clutch shots should go to Kawhi Leonard. And, you know, even though Kawhi missed one at the end of regulation, again, very, very rudimentary play call there. Where that's the other play that Nick Nurse likes to go to. I mean, he basically has two of these plays that he has consistently gone through. Although the Danny Green game winner in Orlando was pretty good. But the two plays he likes to go to are the one, the screen at half court when you inbound to the back court and then you get a screen halfway and you force a quick switch with a guy going with some momentum. There's that. And also there's Kyle Lowry setting a ball screen for Kawhi Leonard. That one I hate the most because it just has not worked. I don't think Kawhi Leonard has the handle, basically, or the temperament to really, because what teams are doing is like, you know, okay, so Kawhi has the ball. You can picture that, right? There's Kawhi's man's obviously guarding him. And then Kyle comes to set the screen. And the goal of it is really to have Kyle step up and then maybe force a switch where Kyle's man, the point guard, is then switched on to Kawhi Leonard. And that's an easier matchup to attack. However, the Raptors have tried this consistently. In Detroit, they tried this in Boston. And it just they've tried it a couple times when they've had crunch games. And it just doesn't work. Because what teams do is they trap. And they try this in the middle of the floor. They try it on the sideline. Everything, right? What teams do is they trap, they force Kawhi to sort of backpedal, keep his dribble alive, but backpedal, right? And then during that time, while Kawhi backpedals, then the guy, Kawhi's man, is able to come off Kyle Lowry's screen and then get back onto Kawhi. And then Kyle's defender is able to go back to Kyle. And there is no opening at any point during that time. It just wastes time. And so I don't want to see that run anymore, man. It just doesn't have it. Unless Kyle can set a great screen and then pop open for three and then confidently take a three, which I don't really want Kyle taking that, you know, a quick pick and pop three for the win. Like, I just don't. That, or if Kawhi can bust the trap and dribble through and then all of a sudden the defense is completely screwed because then it's like a 5-on-3. Unless one of those two things happen, don't run that play anymore because it just doesn't. It just ends up with Kawhi going for isolation and then working for a shot. Even if you just went as easy as you clear out one side, you put Kawhi on the ball in the post, right? He catches it in the post. He's going to seal his man. There's not an issue about that. He's too strong and too big. And then just have him like turn around, face up, jab step, and shoot a jumper. Like, I'd literally rather have the Melo play than this random play that, you know, Kyle and DeMar used to run it all the time. But that was Kyle and DeMar, man. Like, I don't think Kawhi needs this help. Anyway, that's just a general gripe about Nick Nurse's play calling. But yeah, I mean, you know, just overall, I don't think Kyle has sort of been there in terms of just like that next level is just not quite there. It's been a couple of shaky moments in crunch time this year. He's had a lot of good moments too. And today he comes up with the game saving. It's not even a steal so much as an interception because the Wizards, after Danny Green split a pair of free throws, the Raptors went up 2-140 to 138. There's like 2.8 seconds left. They had no timeouts, so they had to inbound from under their own basket. And they decided to throw a Hail Mary to Bradley Beal. Kyle intercepts the pass, and then, you know, that basically is the game right there. And it's a great hustle play, and Kyle made a lot of great hustle plays. He played his heart out, but, like, in terms of just what he has right now, it's kind of shaky because he is not quite able to create. And when teams dare him to score, and by that I mean he comes off the high screen and both defenders are basically working really hard to deny the pocket pass or the pick-and-pop pass, Serge Ibaka and Pascal Siakam, whoever is screening in that situation. And then the Raptors are just kind of stuck because Kyle's not really going to take that mid-range shot. He's definitely not going to go all the way to the rim. He doesn't have the lift for that right now. And he's not really taking the pull-up three either, just because he's not really consistent on that. I mean, his three-point percentage right now is probably like under 33% for the season. He was 2 of 10 today. And so what is Kyle giving you in these crunch moments? And look, it's not about piling on Kyle. It's just really about the fact that he has a higher responsibility than almost everyone else on the team. It's not named Kawhi Leonard, right? Kawhi is going to get his. Kawhi got 41 today. He had 11 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks, a number of clutch plays. But can Kyle create? I mean, to Kyle's credit, he did bait a foul on Thomas Bryant in double overtime that gave the Raptors 2 clutch free throws, and that's key. But that was the entirety of Kyle's offensive production for basically the period you would call crunch time, the last couple minutes of fourth quarter, and then also the 2 overtime periods. And so that is a concern. But the Raptors, ultimately, they did pull it out because Kawhi was phenomenal. I mean, every time Kawhi got on Bradley Beal, he would just kind of torment him. There was a play earlier in the game, I think in the first quarter, where Kawhi wasn't the primary guy on Brad. That was Danny Green, right? But early in the first quarter, Kawhi ends up on the assignment on Bradley Beal. And he literally just like taps it out of his hands and then bobbles it over his head. And Brad tries to jump and reach for it like a little child, like a little brother trying to, like, I don't know, fight for a toy against his big brother or whatever. And then Kawhi tosses up ahead for Pascal for a dunk. And so, you know, Kawhi was really good against Bradley Beal. He came up with a clutch block as well. Kawhi was just everywhere, really, everywhere. On the offensive glass, fairly key. I think he was the guy that got the offensive rebound before Serge hit his game-winning shot. But, you know, there's a bit of concern there with Kawhi, too, because, you know, just randomly in the third quarter, I think the broadcast team announced that, yo, Kawhi has a bit of left leg tightness. Now, that's all they said, and it's a bit confusing what that means, but, you know, he was pictured on the bench. He had a little, like, extra bit of padding on his leg, on his left leg, on top of the fact that he sits on that giant cushion, which is almost comical. It's like a throne. It's really appropriate for his status on the team. But, and then, you know, later in the game, you can see Kawhi sort of limping around and stuff. So it is concerning. He did play the entirety of the overtimes, and he gritted it out, and the Raptors got the win. So that's good. But I would have to say no individual result in the regular season is worth risking Kawhi's health. And I'm sure today he told the medical staff, you know, he told Alex McKechnie, who's right on the bench, that he's good to go and that he wanted to go and he felt good. But we'll see in the coming days, we'll see about his status, whether or not he can continue sustaining this, because you just got to play it safe. You got to really play it safe with Kawhi. And that's not even just a free agency thing. That's just the Raptors having any success in the playoffs thing. Because if it isn't for Kawhi, this team is not actually that good. So it is a bit of a concern. But they win it. Yeah, Serge Ibaka wins it. I mean, he gets a kick out. The guy's recovering to him. He really has a opportunity to swing it to Kyle Lowry at the top of the key really, really, like, immediately if he wanted to. But instead of doing that, he fakes the pass, fakes out the defender, and then takes a three for himself. Again, he was 2 of 8 at this point with 7 points after having played 40 minutes in the game. All right, so it wasn't like he was red hot. He hadn't hit a shot for pretty much the entirety of the second half and overtime. And then, you know, of course, he hits a three and the Raptors go up by one. And the Raptors end up winning. But, man, there was a thrilling game. A lot happened in regulation, actually, before, you know, all the craziness went down in overtime. Just a couple things. I thought Kawhi and Pascal continued to exhibit good chemistry. I think I've sort of repeated this in the last 3 games, but it's really caught my eye recently, where Pascal is really understanding how to move and how to cut while Kawhi is either doing his post-up or sort of facilitating out top. Kawhi hit Pascal with a bullet pass, high-low feed from the top of the key. And also, there's another play where Kawhi was posting up. Pascal comes with fake sets of screen, but then flashes to the basket, and Kawhi finds him, and he gets a layup that way. Pascal was really, really good early in the game. I mean, he was posting up against Trevor Ariza, Bradley Beal, Jeff Green. He was just scoring on all of them. It was great. Delon Wright was really impressive. He was really, really aggressive. He had 17.7 and 11 shooting, 6 rebounds, including 4 offensive, 3 assists, a steal, a block. I mean, he was everywhere. Hit a 3 as well. And it's just, you know, no Fred VanVleet, so it's nice to see Delon Wright take ownership of the bench over the last two games where Fred's been out. Well, actually, I guess was he playing the last game? I guess Fred was in the last game. But still, it's nice to see Delon take ownership of the bench because he really needs to. Norm was pretty decent in his minutes. Monroe came in, you know, did the Monroe's things, was all right. OG only played 21 minutes. Really, he wouldn't even have played that many minutes if Pascal didn't foul out early in the second overtime. But, you know, it is what it is. He was fine. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. It looked like an easy win the whole way. I was feeling really, really good about this one. And then the Raptors kind of, you know, let the Wizards back in. And really, these are games where you almost hate to win because you would almost rather take away the lessons moving forward for the bigger picture as compared to the result. But the Raptors got the result, and you can't complain. It was, you know, it is fun beating the Wizards at the buzzer. I mean, there's a long, long history of this. And our man Zarrar, obviously, recap this for fans. You know, if you need a history lesson, there is one. I've linked to it on my Twitter account. But if you haven't seen it, there's just a long line of Raptors that have hit a ridiculously clutch and unlikely shots against the Wizards over the years. Obviously, none of this happened in 2015 when the Wizards got that karma back and swept the Raptors. So, you know, that's good on them. But I'm talking about Mo Pete against Michael Ruffin. Remember when Michael Ruffin thought the game was over? He threw the ball in the air like 2 feet, and then Morris Peterson catches it and throws it the length of the court, and the Raptors force overtime. Sam Mitchell is jumping up and down. Chuck Swirsky is going nuts, and then the Raptors end up winning that game in OT. Chris Bosh in 2009 had a game winner. That was against Gilbert Arenas and the boys, and like the Arenas and them was wearing actually the bullet casing jerseys. Because, you know, they were called the Bullets or whatever, but they had like those like copper jerseys or whatever. And Chris Bosh, you know, very memorable game winner. Anthony Parker with the Miracle 3 from 2007 or 8, I'm not sure, one of those times. Corey Joseph in the corner. That's actually the same play the Raptors ran for Kyle Lowry, but the first option was for DeMar to come off 2 screens at the elbows and then drive baseline, and he kicked it out to Corey Joseph, who was wide open for the game. And that was great. But, you know, today Kawhi was in the DeMar spot, didn't get open. And so, well, he didn't even look really to get open. It looked like the first option was Kyle, and they quickly amounted to Kyle in the backcourt. And then you got DeMar and his dagger against the Wizards 2017. Yeah, March 3rd, 2017. Then you got Fred VanVleet earlier this year, where the Raptors were shorthanded, no Kawhi Leonard, second game of a back-to-back, the Celtics win, third game of the season. They're on the road in D.C. You know, Raptors cruising most of the way, but then obviously the Wizards make a comeback because they're annoying. And Fred VanVleet basically scoops up a loose ball and throws it towards the basket with one hand fading, leading off to the side, and he hits it, and that basically iced the game. So Serge Ibaka passing up Kyle Lowry is just another chapter in what is mostly a positive history between the Raptors and the Wizards. Fun game. You know, it's honestly, it took a lot longer than I really wanted it to. Like, most people would really just prefer to have their Sunday afternoons to, you know, do things and chill and whatever. But Raptors not making it easy. Well, really, the Wizards not making it easy, because kudos to them, man. They fought really hard. In terms of your three stars, first star, obviously, Kawhi Leonard, 41 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals. Incredible game. Second star, Pascal Siakam, 24 points, 19 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 blocks, or 2 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks. The turnovers and the fouls is kind of a point against Siakam, but overall, you know, he was very productive, especially early in the game. And of course, Serge Ibaka, I mean, when you hit the game winner, you got to get one of the stars. And, you know, this is probably the bare minimum you could do while getting a star, 10 points, 4 rebounds, 3 of 9 shooting, but he hit the most important shot of the game, and that's really what matters. So Raptors got a couple days off here. They play the Celtics on the road. The Celtics are imploding right now. You know, I might have put out a slanderous tweet that the Celtics are slowly becoming the Wizards because they keep fighting each other. and underperforming. And I don't know. But, you know, putting that slander aside, going to Boston is never easy. And this could easily be a game where the Celtics, you know, get themselves back on track, quote unquote. We'll see. I mean, we got Kyrie yelling at Hayward. We got Marcus Morris shoving Jaylen Brown. So, you know, a lot of strife over there. A lot of team meetings being called, and then like three-game win streaks against like trash opponents like Chicago Bulls, and it's like, oh, we're back on the same page. It's like, no, you're not. No, you're not. Let's see you beat the Orlando Magic first. But the Celtics obviously will have that game circled in their calendar. The Raptors will, of course, as well. Raptors have some nice rest heading into the game, so that's new. That's a change. And yeah, that's gonna be interesting. But good win tonight, and I'll be back to recap the Celtics win.